Oh, this is a continuation of a tape by Lola Colette. She will continue talking about the 1967 flood. See, on the last tape, I guess we left off when water was rushing down Third Avenue and you wondered where it was coming from.
Well, the neighbor from across Third Avenue here had three children, and her husband was at work, and so was my husband. He was at work. And so the neighbor from this house went over and carried them across the street in the water and brought them over to my house. And we sat there all night long and watched the debris come down the street. There were Jeff Studdard's dog houses and barrels and all kinds of debris came down, but we just sat there all night, and then by 5 o'clock in the morning it looked like the neighborhood was pretty quiet. So, and then an airboat came down the street, and so we went out and called to them and told them we'd like to get out of there, and they said, well, they would come back. They were going down the street to rescue some of their own people, and so they brought them, got them, and took them up to the school, and then they came back and got us, and that was about 5 o'clock in the morning. And they took us up to the school, and so we went up there and didn't know really what to do. But as we saw people coming and going, and everybody was just wondering why, what should we do now? So then that's Bev Berklet and her children from across the street went to Anchorage on a flight that was taking them. It was the Air National Guard, I guess it was. So I didn't have anything to do up there, and I went down where the boats were coming, and I saw a friend of my son's, and so I asked him if he'd take me home, and he said, sure. So he took me, and about that time the Berklet's dog came along, and so I got the dog in the boat, and I took the dog home, but it was a golden lab, and I didn't know the dog that well, and it didn't know me that well. But anyway, I kept the dog there until finally Bill, the husband and father, came along and got the dog, and I don't know where he took the dog, but anyway, he went over to his house, and it was a mess with all the water, and the aquariums were without water and food, and so anyway, I didn't see any more of him. And then in the meantime, we had been, Ken, our youngest son, had stayed home. And then the boys next door were alone because their mother was in the States and their father was a pilot. And so we sort of took care of them, and we all managed to live through it. We sure have memories of those few days.
So you actually stayed in your house, mm-hmm, during the flood. Didn't you have quite a bit of water, or did you have higher area?
We didn't have water on the floor. It was up just to the floor joists.
Oh,
and so we lucked out.
You had it in the basement.
Oh, yes. Yes, when it started, I went down. There was a Davenport down there. I put the legs in coffee cans so that it wouldn't. Yes, I didn't want it to get wet. And so, of course, next time I would have just taken it out and put it in the front yard and let it float away. But I was trying to save it. My husband had told me, well, it starts backing up, the sewer starts backing up, I put a grapefruit down the toilet. Well, I couldn't get the grapefruit to stay. Then I realized, well, the shower drain was below that, so it wouldn't do any good to plug the toilet. So I went back upstairs, I hadn't thought about it when I let the water out when I was doing dishes. I thought, oh, gee, I shouldn't have let that water out. It'll come out in the basement. It was too late then. But anyway, we had a full basement of water, and we had made our own root beer, and there were, I don't think we had that many bottles to begin with, but there were empty beer bottles all over the basement. They floated around, and of course everything floated. The basement stairs floated up so that they were horizontal, and when the sewers finally began to work, why, of course, it sucked the water out of the basement. One of the legs of the table was stuck in the sink, and it was just amazing what a mess it was. But we really didn't have any structural damage or anything like that. A lot of people were much worse off than we were. Fortunately, we had a good cement basement, and that made a lot of difference. And I sat there and did a lot of typing in my, we have a corner window in that house, and I sat there and watched the water go by and typed away, and I thought, well, the heck, that's a good time to do some mending. So I went into my sewing machine, and of course, no electricity.
As I said, I don't think you would have had electricity for a while after that.
No, and we had a little camp stove that we cooked on, and of course, we immediately made menus out of what we had in the freezer and the refrigerator. And we didn't do badly. We had some peculiar menus, but we got along fine. And these two boys next door came over and ate with us. About Thursday, my husband came back home for a visit to see that we were all right. But he had to hurry back to work.
At that point, where was he working?
He was working for the city. He was at the sewage.
Oh, yes, he would be busy.
Sewage plant, yes.
That time.
Yeah. So he was pretty busy down there, but we were getting along fine, so he didn't worry about us. And he did turn the power back on for us, so that it wasn't so bad. It wasn't quite so primitive, but it was. It took quite a while to dry everything out and get things going again.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we had good weather, and the hard freeze didn't come until about the middle of October that year. So it gave us time to
dry out the rugs.
Yes. Well, all these things. It's amazing. People had all kinds of things out drying, and the garbage men would come by about every day, and it was a very busy time for everybody.
Yeah, it took a while to clean up.
Oh, I should say it did. Yes.
And to get rid of that flood smell too.
I don't know whether we ever did get rid of it. There's still silt in the basement. I swear they'll never get rid of that silt.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought enough ahead that I propped the doors open in the basement, but I wasn't smart enough to know that you don't put a broom in the door to hold it open. It floats off too. But it's you learn a lot. I hope you never need to use that experience.
I think that's called the flood of 500 years or 100 years.
Well,
so at least that lets us off the hook.
Yes.
But it was, it was something to deal
with.
Yes,
it was really tragic. Of course, some people just lost an awful lot of things. And in fact, some of the homes, I guess, were really beyond repair.
Yeah, if there was serious structural damage.
But we didn't have that problem because ours were the only one that didn't have a cement basement. Was a little house on Second, and that came through it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So I guess after people cleaned up at home, then they had to clean up at work, clean up at work. So you had sort of a double dose of it.
And some of them had to clean up at work before they could get to
home.
And it was sort of funny. You had your, you couldn't use your washing machine because most of them didn't work after the flood. So you just wore the cleanest, dirty clothes you could find. But everybody was in the same boat. So
that's true, yeah, that we just made do with what we had.
Yes, well, if you were there, then you probably know just as well as I do.
Except I was lucky. I was living on campus at the time, so I didn't have...
Yeah, well, a lot of people went out to the campus to live.
But most of the people, I guess, in town located at Lathrop High School?
Well, from here they did. Now, we went by airboat from here to the school, and I don't remember just what route we took, but I know we went up to that service station across from Old Main School, and that was...
Bull Panner.
Yes, it was sort of high. It wasn't very high, but it was high enough so that we couldn't couldn't drive a boat very close to it, and I don't remember just what route we took, but we went up to the school, and I noticed that as I was in there trying to wonder what next, Jim Filial's dad was around emptying waste baskets, Edgar Filial, and I thought, well, now that he wasn't a maintenance man, he was an engineer, and yet he was around doing something to keep himself busy. And it's I don't know what I would have done if I'd had to stay up there.
Yeah, I think that was one of the hardest things for people mm-hmm. to sit around waiting, not knowing, well, there was nothing for them to do in a place like Lathrop High School, and yet not knowing what was facing them at home. It mm-hmm. must have been very frustrating.
Well, one couple came over there to the high school, and we could see their house from the school, and she said, oh, we just were so lonesome over there. It's a really odd feeling. You really don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But no, thank goodness we aren't going to have another one of those.
Yeah, it was a flood of all floods.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I guess that wasn't the first one you saw. That there was...
Oh, no. We've had other floods, but nothing that serious.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that there'd be a log jam, maybe, or not log jam, ice jam down the river, and it'd back up, but nothing bad. We've had it over here near on the corner of Clay and First, but it never got this high. So it's just a new experience.
Well, you've had many unique experiences in many
yes.
years in Alaska, certainly by travel, that your first trip by boat and
mm-hmm.
the old narrow gauge railroad, and you've seen the floods and the fires and seen the town change quite a bit from
yes.
1922.
Well, some of it's for the good and some I don't mm-hmm. quite approve of, but then it's all progress, I guess.
You know, the expression, some progress is painful, but
mm-hmm.
it's inevitable that changes occur, but there's a lot of Fairbanks that's still quite unique, and it
oh yes
makes us appreciate living here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still like it. It gets cold sometimes, but this winter has been wonderful.
Yeah, say, giving us all a nice treat.
Yes.
So.
Well, after the two winters with so much snow, it really is special.
Yeah, not much snow, and then a nice weather to go on
mm-hmm.
top of that. Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you this afternoon, hearing about the early days of a period of history that I've only read about,
mm-hmm.
and hearing it from someone who experienced it firsthand makes it very real and exciting. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.